Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
An innovator in the passenger vessel industry, Terry McRae is the CEO of Hornblower Cruises and Events. In addition to crafting the only fleet of hybrid vessels in North America, McRae has built an empire of more than 70 yachts in the last 35 years. Hornblower Cruises and Events has ports in San Francisco, Berkeley, Sacramento, Long Beach, Newport Beach, Marina Del Rey, San Diego, and New York City. Two Hornblower subsidiary businesses, Alcatraz Cruises and Statue Cruises, are National Park Service ferry concessioners to Alcatraz Island and the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island, respectively. In 2014, Hornblower began operating its third subsidiary, Hornblower Niagara Cruises, out of Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join Terry McRae on Alcatraz Island. McRae and I were on the rock in conjunction with the annual Alcatraz Alumni Weekend and a press conference to announce TripAdvisor's Reader's Choice Award, naming Alcatraz Island as the number one U.S. landmark. McRae talks about the history of Hornblower Cruises that started in 1980 with one Berkeley-based yacht. McRae also shares his insights about America's waterborne history and some engaging ideas about maritime transportation's future as a viable alternative for urban commuters. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from San Francisco. Right now we're with Terry McRae, the chairman and CEO of Hornblower Cruises. Terry, tell us the big picture.
Hornblower started in 1980 in Berkeley, California as a charter boat company initially. Small groups, corporate events, weddings, things like that. And as people would get off the boat, they'd say, oh my God, that was the best event ever. It's a shame we have to wait till next year or till the next wedding to do that. And we decided at that point it might be a good idea to get into the public dinner cruise business where we could have cruises on a regular basis and people could come and enjoy the bay. San Francisco Bay, of course, is an amazing treasure. So many different things to see and do here. So we added public dinner cruises and we were successful enough that we decided to expand to San Diego with the same concept and then ultimately Long Beach, Los Angeles, Marina Del Rey, Newport Beach. At one point we did Lake Tahoe for a few years and then Sacramento. And in 2005, the National Park Service decided to put the Alcatraz concession to bring guests to the island out to bid. And so we were successful in putting a bid together and winning that in 2006.
So you're basically a subcontractor or concessionaire for the National Park Service.
Correct, exactly right.
This is in addition and separate from your dinner cruise.
Exactly, so we have the brand Alcatraz Cruises, and then we were also successful in winning in New York City the concession to carry passengers, ferry passengers, to Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island National Monument.
A different name, it's not Hornblower, right?
That's called Statue Cruises. Right. And then a little bit later, we also picked up the rights to do the Niagara Falls route, which is at the base of the falls.
So that's like the old classic Maid of the Mist.
Yeah, we replaced Maid of the Mist in Canada.
Uh-huh.
So essentially, they don't operate in Canada anymore. And then we've added a lot of other contract operations along the way. We run steamboats on the Mississippi River. We run high-speed ferries for the military. We run ferries for municipalities. So we do a lot of marine things, and as I said, I think we're the largest small passenger vessel operator in the country.
From what little I know of Hornblower Cruises here in San Francisco, is more of a visual, iconic part. You know, like I said, walking down the Embarcadero, and I love old boats. I love those historic boats, and that's something that I assume you specialize in.
Old boats are really an interesting challenge, Tom. At one point, we had in San Diego, our fleet of boats averaged 100 years old down there,
Wow. Which
is quite amazing when you consider it. But we've got some old Trumpies and some amazing old yachts. And here in the Bay Area, our headquarters are actually on a boat that was built in 1927. Before there were Bay Bridges and Golden Gate Bridges here, the Bay was served with ferry boats. Car ferries that cars would drive in. They were called double enders. The cars drove in on one end and the boat went across the bay and they'd drive off. The passengers all came in on the upper decks. So we resuscitated one of those boats in the late 80s to be our office building, and that's down at Pier 3 on the Embarcadero.
And as I remember, I lived, as you know, in the Northwest. I remember riding on that ferry boat in the Puget Sound. Am I correct?
You were absolutely correct. When the bridges were built here in San Francisco, which was the late 30s, after the war, within about 10 years, a lot of those ferry boats found their way up to Puget Sound. There were a lot more islands and a lot fewer bridges up there, so they could use those boats. And then some of them were retired, brought back to the Bay Area, and really some of them just went out of service as short a time as 5 years ago and were finally scrapped out. So it's amazing to have heritage like that. It's a pain in the neck to do the maintenance and to keep everything up. But
that's part of the draw and the mystique and the allure,
yeah.
Isn't it?
We're big on adaptive reuse. We're huge on conservation. You know, we have some really great environmental programs and preservation programs. We're proud of that track record. So it's a good fit for us to be entrusted with some of those assets, frankly.
As long as I'm holding you captive on Alcatraz.
Good line.
We were talking earlier this morning about transportation and about the interconnection between land and sea and public transportation. Talk to us for a moment about that disconnect and the hope for the future.
So if you think about it, back from when the United States was first colonized and settled, the expansion off of the coast, off of the 13 colonies, came when people started pushing inland. And they did that with boats. Once they figured out that they could build steamboats and riverboats and get as far as St. Louis and, you know, Montana and as far north from the Gulf as St. Paul and all those inland cities, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, St. Louis, New Orleans, every one of those cities is a seaport initially or a river port. That's really what got the United States to grow the way it did. You watch the expansion and where commerce occurred, and it was always on the water.
So in some ways we were more connected back in the day than we are today, though.
We were way more connected by water in a slower sort of way. As time went on, of course, the railroads came, and they didn't always follow the rivers. They had to build bridges to cross rivers, which actually impaired navigation in some cases. But the railroad was kind of the next era, and it brought in industrialization. Of course, that helped the boats, because then all of a sudden we had steamboats also. And then we became more of an international trading partner. Really, like the Erie Canal is what made the New York port what it is, once you could bring goods to New York City and find them in the Great Lakes a few days later. It's a great story. You know, we've lost some of that connectivity. We don't think of ourselves as much as a seaport country anymore.
Tell us about the disconnect today in public transportation and that how close something might be to BART. You're talking about taking a boat over to Oakland.
Well, oddly enough, most of the places where the new trains come now is nowhere near where the old ferry routes were. So in many cases, they've abandoned the water and the opportunity that it creates. But you'll find, I think, in many locations, New York and San Francisco for sure, where you aren't going to build any more bridges, probably no more BART tunnels. If you want to connect those communities, you're going to be doing it by boat. And the shame is that you can't really connect boat to BART very easily. There's only one station in all of the BART area here. In New York, it's the same way. There's only one place in New York City, really, where boats and subways and trains come together, and that's at the Battery, where we operate for Statue of Liberty. But it's a planning disconnect. You know, people think about planning as a 5 or 20-year cycle. People should think about planning as a 50 and 100-year cycle as well.
Going forward, is there a hope for connecting the dots?
I think that there's going to be more times when marine transportation is a solution. There's more technology now that's giving a better marine transportation alternatives. But you talk about adding more transportation to Silicon Valley. I mean, you can put hundreds of buses on the road, or you could put some high-speed ferries on the bay. The roads are already packed, so the 100 buses only exacerbate that problem, and there's nobody on the bay.
That's a really good point. It really is. It's like an open freeway.
Plus, if people think about quality of lifestyle, where do you think you're going to find the greatest enjoyment? Looking at the trunk and the bumper of the guy in front of you for hours every day, or sitting in the comfortable high-speed ferry with your Wi-Fi and your nice glass of California wine?
It seems like such a no-brainer. Is it a pipe dream, or is it something that people are engineering and talking about and trying to introduce?
I don't think it's a pipe dream, but one of the problems, Tom, is that the the public don't think of boats as part of their transportation system, so they don't subsidize it. If you think of a standard train or bus like BART or Golden Gate Transit, they're subsidizing the public either through sales tax or general funds or whatever is subsidizing 50 to 60% in many cases of the cost of that transportation.
But not so in maritime.
No, they don't think about subsidizing maritime. Now, the Bay Area has some maritime subsidies. New York, for the first time, is thinking about it. But I think once people realize boats should be just part of the fabric of the public transportation system, whether you go by bus, boat, train, ferry, you know, Uber, whatever it is, it's all interconnected. I think there'll be more opportunities to get a good transportation via boat.
And especially San Francisco Bay Area, where we are right now, it's close to gridlock in certain places. And so this really is a hope for the future, isn't it?
In my view, it is. Try to get home from San Francisco to the East Bay some night with all the construction and parking challenges and roadway challenges. One traffic accident and you're into it for 2.5 or 3 hours. So I think ferries will make a comeback in every area where there's water. I think people will learn to embrace it. It'll become part of their future and not just their old legacy from the past. We were talking about the past a little bit. When we look out on the water here, you can see Fort Mason over there. The finger piers off of Fort Mason. Next to it is the location where the Alcatraz boat, water taxi, left to bring the kids to school and inmates back and the guards back. So they had their own transit system, much like the Park Service does now, so they can maintain good control and good security. So it's one of our legacies here to be part of that transportation system. It's a huge enjoyment for us to serve 6,000 people a day and provide great visitor services in a marine environment. I mean, that's the best thing that we get to do, is we get to do the hospitality and the visitor services on the boat and not just be transportation.
I was going to say, it's much more than riding a subway. It's an experience in itself just getting there.
That is exactly right. That is the way it works for us. And it's great for us to take our guest service routes and our food and beverage and hospitality experience and add the transportation element to it. So we have a great team of people and a great relationship with the Park Service, and we're looking forward to continuing that.
Terry McRae, Chairman and CEO, Hornblower Cruises San Francisco, thank you so much for sharing. What a great day to be out on the bay.
And thank you, Tom. I appreciate the chance to share a little bit of bird comments and the great view here from Alcatraz with the little fog just outside the Golden Gate. It's really a great day on Alcatraz. And let's go listen to what some of the alums have to say.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,